as we were singing that doxology, and I saw Steve walk off this stage this morning, man, yeah, we have lots to be thankful for. On October 7th, I believe it was the one-year anniversary where Steve was electrocuted, and the miracle that he is with us and doing so well is, God is to be praised for how, yeah. Yeah, amen. I do want to just take a little bit of time to pray this morning. We have our provincial elections coming up, so we want to pray for that this morning and just for our time together here as well. Father God, as we come before you with thanksgiving in our hearts for your goodness, for your love for us, we remember those who are sick and we pray for those who are sick, and we recognize that you hear our prayers and you answer our prayers, and today we give you thanks for how you have worked in Steve's life and how you have brought healing to his life. And so, Father, we give you praise and glory. And for those who are not well, I pray that they would be encouraged that, God, you are a God who hears our prayers and answers our prayers. Maybe not the way we always like, but you are listening. And so, Father, we come before you and bring those who are not well before you, and we ask and invite you to work in their hearts and lives, and that your will is going to be accomplished. Father, too, we pray for the elections that are coming up this week. I pray, God, that you would give us discernment and wisdom in how to vote. And God, we want to honor and glorify you in all we do. And so I pray that we would take the time and look at the candidates, look at the platforms of the parties, and, Father, vote with you in mind. How is your will going to be accomplished? So, Father, I pray that you would speak to us as we make that decision this week. Father, may you be honored and glorified in this province. God, we pray that you would position, we know you're going to position the people, the person, the party that you desire to be in for this season. And so, Father, we pray that it would be a party that has godly values and morals, and that they would be faithful to those godly values and morals as they lead in that role. Father, too, we thank you for this opportunity to look into your word. Thank you that you have given us your Holy Spirit to enlighten us and illuminate your scripture to us. And so, Father, we ask expectantly that you will this morning teach us again. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. This morning, we are again going to continue in our series on heaven. If you were here 2 weeks ago, we began this series. We began looking at the hope that we have as followers of Jesus, knowing that this world is not all that there is. There is more to this world than what we see around us. Thank God, because my goodness, it is just not that always that exciting to see what is happening around us. Yes, there is beauty though, because God is the creator of it all, and there is beauty in that. But what we have done, what mankind has done, is not always beautiful. And so be encouraged. And we looked at John 14, 2-3 as an encouragement to that. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, and if it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I am going to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That is incredible encouragement for us as followers of Jesus. And it is the hope that motivates us, that it's the hope that encourages us, considering the trials and the hardships that we go through and face in this life. And what you and I believe to be true about the future will impact today. It will inform how you live, how you love, and how you act in this present time. Today, I want to look at where we go when we die. What happens when we die? And beliefs about the afterlife are varied. There's a lot of different beliefs about the afterlife, and there's a growing number of people who don't believe in the afterlife at all, that there's anything beyond this life here. You die, that's it. But Jesus speaks to this afterlife, speaks to life after death when he is on the cross between two criminals. And I want to read this morning, I want to read the account of Jesus while he's hanging on the cross between two criminals from Luke chapter 23. I'm just going to read verse 42 to 43 this morning. Now there was also an inscription above him. This is the King of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other answered, rebuking him, and said, "Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he was saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." And he said to him, Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." For someone hanging on the cross, death is very real. Minutes or hours away. And the question, what happens when you die, or I die, is no longer a distant thought. It's very real. It's happening right now. You're considering it. For you and I, there are certain times when we look at death more closely. There are times when the death of a loved one affects us more, and we think about what happens when we die more seriously than other times. Or there's also times when there's chaos in our lives, and we will think about it more frequently. Or when the world seemingly is falling apart. And that's when we begin to examine and think of our own mortality. So considering the trials, the wars around us, and the threat of war, how do you live with hope for the future at all? It seems hopeless. In this passage, we find hope and comfort for all followers of Jesus. Because Jesus, while on the cross, provided hope that certainly exceeded the expectations of one of the criminals. He says in verse 20, Jesus says in verse 23, "Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." Jesus' response to this man's repentance that day was absolutely incredible. His plea, his cry was a cry of repentance. And he says, truly, Jesus is saying truly is like a divine exclamation point. Think about this thief. He was a convicted felon. He's dying on a cross. He's a man that the Jews would have regarded as unredeemable. But in fact, Jesus himself guarantees that he would be rescued out of death into life that very day. Jesus' desire for this repentant thief is that he might know beyond a shadow of a doubt where he would go the moment that he dies. Know this today, friends. This is the assurance that all followers of Jesus have today. In light of the conflict, in light of the trials, in light of the challenges that we face in our day-to-day lives, in light of the stuff that's going on, our sickness, our disease, and our illness, this is the assurance that we as followers of Jesus have, that when we die, today you will be with me in paradise. The thief received more than he expected. In this very intimate and serious interaction, we actually learn a few key truths about heaven. When believers die, they have immediate access to paradise. The thief didn't have to wait for the new heaven, the new earth. He would be with Jesus immediately. He wouldn't live in some state of soul sleep somewhere between here and nowhere. He would be with Jesus in the place of the righteous departed that very day when they both died. Jesus' use of truly signifies that the certainty, the assurance of what he is saying. truly means you can count on these words. I am guaranteeing you this very thing. This certainty provides comfort to believers, knowing that heaven is not a distant possibility, but a guaranteed promise grounded in the Word of God. It's why you walk to the side of a bed, the deathbed of one who is dying, and yet they have confidence in where they're going. They have joy, they have peace, they have comfort. One of the things that was one of the scariest things as you become a pastor is when you go into the hospital room, into the palliative care, you know these people aren't leaving that ward unless God does an incredible miracle, but many times, most times, those people will die. How do you begin to have a conversation with somebody who's dying? Well, it's so much easier. When you're a follower of Jesus, those conversations become a piece of joy. They become a time of fellowship with those who are in that situation. This day, as Jesus is, these guys are hanging on the cross, this day through Jesus' death, salvation was being achieved. And the criminal, this guy who's hanging on the cross, would share in it through a personal relationship with Jesus himself. There's a second observation that we can make here. Not only did he gain immediate access to heaven, but he would also be in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ in heaven. The phrase, with me, you will be with me. Today you will be with me in paradise. That phrase emphasizes the personal nature of heaven. Heaven is not just a place of soul sleep. It's not just a place where your body is just, or your soul is just resting dormant for a period of time. But it's a space where believers are in the presence of Jesus relationally. They're with Jesus. Let that sink in for a moment. One of the things that I always looked at as I was looking at death for many years was what was the thing that gave me so much hope in all of that was the fact that I would someday, when I would die, I would see my loved one. You know, that piece is, yes, maybe that's possible, maybe that's true. That piece has really faded away when I understood the reality of the moment that I take my last breath here is the moment that I will be face to face with Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who hung on the cross. My goodness, what a beautiful hope that we have in a relationship. Do you get it? Let that just sink in. You're not just some unknown person. You're not just some number that is written on a wall. Yeah, you got here, you made it. Even among the hundreds and thousands and millions of people that are currently there now, he said, you will be with me. I don't know how that works. I don't know how that works, but I know that the Word of God says we will be with him personally. What a powerful understanding. When we can come to that truth, come to that place, it will make the present even more glorious to live in because of what awaits us. This emphasizes that heaven's central joy is being with Jesus rather than just escaping trials of earth. Far more awaits us than just sitting without trials and temptations. Now, don't get me wrong. That's a beautiful thing. That we will be without trials and temptations, without sin. That is a beautiful thing. But far more awaits us than simply that. Know that there is so much more. That should bring us incredible joy. A correct understanding of that relationship after we die will provide joy. It will provide motivation and purpose to live in this present life, even though things seem hopeless at times. And Paul understood this, and we're going to read 2 Corinthians 5, 1 to 10. And last week, two weeks ago when I spoke, I spoke on the first four verses, but this I want to include the last six verses in this as well as we continue reading to verse 10 in 2 Corinthians 5. For we know that if this earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made of hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed, this house we groan In this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. Inasmuch we have put it on. Inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in the tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared for us this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage. I say and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be home with the Lord. Paul's encouragement for the believer are so many as we read through this passage of Scripture, but I'm just going to highlight a few. And we talked about this last week as well, or a couple weeks ago as well. These dying, decaying bodies are only temporary. I mean, we don't want to live in these temporary, decaying bodies forever. No one wants that. These bodies fail. They break down. And in verse 5, he says, Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us a Spirit as a pledge to live in the world, not on our own to fend for ourselves. So while in this world, we're not left here to deal with things on our own, just to grin and bear it, to hunker down and white knuckle it through the hardship. But he has given us the Holy Spirit to walk through this life with the encouragement, with the knowledge that we have more beyond this life. There is more in the future. And then being absent from these bodies means to be in the presence of Jesus. Many times when we're thinking about this, especially as we're younger, we often don't want to die. I don't want to die now. There's some things I want to do. There's some things I want to accomplish. I want to get married. I want to inaugurate that marriage. You know, we think about that often. We consummate that marriage. That's the word I was looking for. Those are things. I want to do that before I go to heaven. But you know, when we start to realize and understand what awaits us, what is beyond this life, it is far greater than what we have here on this earth. Jesus truly exceeds expectations when we recognize what he accomplished on the cross. When we understand and realize the punishment that he took for our sin, we were sentenced to death, eternal separation. I mean, think about it. This thief, he's on the cross. He's dying, and he recognizes it. Hey, this man that's in between us, this man that's beside me, he has not sinned. He recognizes that he is worthy of the punishment, but this guy, he's not. There's something different about him. There's something that he holds eternal life in his hand. Somehow, he must have heard and understood and recognized who this man was. And he just simply said, you know what, I just want to be with you at some point. But Jesus exceeds his expectations when he says, today you will be with me personally in pain. Now we have hope, confidence in the future that changes our perspective living in this world today. Philippians 3, 20 and 21 says, For our citizenship, is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. Even now, your citizenship is in heaven. We have this confident assurance that these earthly bodies will be transformed. Your view of the future, what awaits you, will determine how you live in the present. Now notice verse 9. Therefore, she's talking about the hope that we have as followers of Jesus, and then he transitions a little bit here. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. Our goal, our motivation to do what pleases him, whether we are here on earth in our temporary bodies or with him in paradise, our ambition is to do what pleases him. We have the opportunity, the privilege to do what pleases him here on earth. Even though we may long desperately to be with him, we have the privilege and opportunity here and now, in the power of the Holy Spirit, to do what pleases him. Your life is significant. Your life matters. What you do here and now matters. I don't care how old you are. What you do here, for youngest to the oldest, what you do here in the present matters. You are valuable. God has given us a mission. In Philippians 1:23, Paul says, "It is necessary for me to be here. The work that God has for me is not complete." He recognized he wanted to be away from this earthly tent. But he recognized that for this season, God wanted him here. It's necessary for us to be here. You, as a follower of Jesus, it is necessary for you to be here in this time. He's got a purpose for you. He's got a mission for you. It's important. The work that God has for you is not complete. It's important. Our ambition, our motivation to live and be joyful for this season here on earth comes from that hope that we have. And we have the opportunity. He chose us. Let that sink into you a bit this morning. He chose you to do what pleases him in his kingdom as citizens of heaven. And he promises that our service will be rewarded. And Paul speaks about this reward in verse 10. For we must all appear, followers of Jesus, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed or rewarded for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Every day we have here on earth is an opportunity to do what pleases God, to use our gifts, our abilities, our talents, and our resources to serve him and do what honors him, to be a salt, to be the salt and light of the world around us. He chose you to be ambassadors to those around you. That's a privilege, not a burden. And then what awaits beyond this is paradise. Church, be encouraged, because Jesus is exceeding your expectations in this life and in the life to come. How we live matters. What we do here makes a difference for God's kingdom. What we do matters when we sit at the judgment seat of Christ. So that provides us with motivation in the present to live, to prepare for our future. However, there is a decision. There's two thieves on the cross. And we saw that one thief makes the decision to place his faith in Jesus. His work on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection, resulting in a future with the Messiah. And God promised, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Heaven is not the default. For those of us who are followers of Jesus, there's an opportunity to examine how we are doing in serving Jesus in and through our lives and with the resources that we've been entrusted with, our time, energy, resources, gifts, talents. What makes the Christian biblical view of heaven unique among religions is that it is most certainly the most relational, intimate relational oriented of them all. That's a beautiful picture of what awaits us. Next week, we're going to continue a little bit with the present heaven. We're going to look at some questions, explore what heaven is like. Are we just floating spirits in heaven? Will we know people in heaven? What will we do? Do we sit around playing harps all day? What do we do in heaven? Some people think it's a perpetual Sunday service. I mean, if that's all it is, do I want to go? We'll come back next week and we'll have a look at into some of those questions and examine what Scripture has to say to some of that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we are thankful that you have given us your word, and we have this confidence in your word that truly we will be with you in paradise when we die. That is the hope that we have as followers of Jesus. It is with that confidence that we live in this present day. It is with that confidence that we live with joy each and every day. And so, Father, may we be faithful as we are salt and light in this world, waiting and eagerly anticipating life after death. Father, thank you for the confidence that you have given us. We pray these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.